Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you now for the time we can come to you. Thank you for the time we can examine your word, Father. Help us to understand the terrible times in which we live. Father, we pray particularly for those stranded in Afghanistan. We pray for your judgment against those who allowed this to happen. Father, we pray for your judgment so that righteousness might prevail. Well, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to look at Romans 8, 28 this morning. Actually, Romans 8, 29. Is Romans 8, 28 a promise that many try to make it out to be? We recognize that overall, all things, both evil and good, must work for the glory of God, the expansion of his kingdom, and for the well-being of his church. God works all history to accomplish his good pleasure. All things for good in judgment against the ungodly, all things for good against the sinner in calling him to Christ, all things for good in revealing the hidden things of dishonesty, and so on. The commandment is exceeding broad, according to Psalms 119, verse 96. This tells us that verse 28 covers many areas, but we will consider verse 28 in a limited sense of its context. Remember, Paul wrote Romans, all of Romans, Romans 7 and 8, under the extreme wicked reign of Nero, born 37, died AD 68. He became emperor at the age of 17, and he reigned from 54 AD to 68 AD, almost the entire time period of the New Testament. So Romans was written, as well as the rest of the New Testament books, was written under the reign of the most terrible man. He has a terrible reputation of being extremely wicked. Romans 8:28 we read, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." And then we leave out verse 29 and the rest of it. "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." Verse 30, "Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" Romans 8, verse 28 should not be separated from verse 29, but it is. It's probably, Romans 8, 28 is probably one of the best known passages in Scripture, and it may be one of the most abused Scriptures, as it is claimed by Christians and non-Christians alike, to meet personal, emotional needs. It is commonly wrested from its context and its proper understanding. The context of Romans 8, verse 28, is chapter 8, as well as all Scripture. In verse 17 of chapter 8, we read, "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together." Verse 18, "For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." And then verse 22, groaning as we wait for our redemption. Now there are many passages here. I'll just read them to you. These notes will be posted at Sermon Audio if you would like to download the notes. Here we have 2 Timothy 2:12, Hebrews 13:3, 1 Peter 2:20, 1 Thessalonians 3:4, which promises tribulation, trouble, and afflictions and distress, Romans 5:3, 12:12, 2 Corinthians 4:17, and Philippians 4:14. The context of verse 20, the context after verse 28 continues. Verse 36 killed all the day long and concludes with verse 29 and the impossibility of being separated from the love of God despite all the persecution that is taking place. Despite the distressing circumstances of chapter 8, it closes with the joyful assurance, verse 37, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." Now let's look at verses 28 and 29. "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are be called according to his purpose, and for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that we might be the firstborn among many brethren." First, all things. Second, the called. That is, individuals are foreknown. They are predestinated in the Lamb that was slain before the foundations of the world. Three, according to his purpose. Four, his purpose is spelled out in verse 29. The purpose is to be conformed to the image of his Son. His purpose is to conform his people, the elect, the called ones. His purpose is to conform them to the image of his Son. That's the purpose. "According as he hath chosen us before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." Ephesians 1 verse 4 and 1 Peter 1 verse 12. "And we know." Verse 28 is for the comfort of those who are seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It is their assurance that all of their distressing circumstances are working to form them into the image of his Son. And this is their goal. If you are the elect of God, you will be desirous to be conformed into the image of his Son. If there's no desire then you need to examine your salvation. They are being assured here that all things are working for his glory and for the good of the elect. Because of that knowledge, they are able by faith to rejoice no matter what the circumstances may be, for they understand that God's will is being accomplished as he works to form the image of his Son in them. They are told, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice." Now you say, "Well, that just doesn't make sense. All these evil things coming." Well, we don't see them. The Lord told us to judge righteous judgment. Don't judge by appearances. Judge righteous judgment. And righteous judgment says that all things are working for the good of his people and for the glory, his glory, and for the good of the church. Of verse 28, which is so easily overlooked. The context of verse 28 is chapter 8, as well as all scripture. The context is the suffering for Christ. Verse 17, "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together." And verse 18, "For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory with which shall be revealed in us." Verse 22 talks about groaning as we wait for our redemption. And again, the passages are 2 Timothy 2:12, Hebrews 13:3, 1 Peter 2:20, 1 Thessalonians 3:4, which promises tribulation and afflictions. Romans 5:3-12, 2 Corinthians 4:17, and Philippians 4:14. The context after verse 28 continues, verse 26, killed all the day long, and concludes with 39, and the impossibility of being separated from him. In Acts 5, verse 41, we read, "And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name." Verse 28, we see then, afflictions and tribulations should produce joy in those who are called according to his purpose. Rejoice evermore. Accordingly, there is no promised comfort in verse 28 for those who are not seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness first of all, who are not desiring that the image of the Son be formed in them. Those who are only seeking personal peace and comfort in their distress have no promise to claim, though they might find some emotional comfort here. Moreover, those who cannot honestly rejoice in verse 28 need to examine themselves to see if they are in the faith. Romans 8 is an assurance. Romans 8, verse 28 and 29, is an assurance for those desiring to be formed into the image of the Son. In the process of their sanctification to be like the Son, they face many trials and kinds of distressing situations. They understand that the purpose of all things of verse 28 is to perform the spiritual work in the people of God. That is, all things are working together to comfort his people, to conform his people to the image of his Son. How many of those who claim verse 28 are desiring to be confirmed to the end, be conformed? I get this word wrong. I'm a product of look, say, method of reading from back in the 50s. How many of those who claim verse 28 are desiring to be conformed to the image of his Son? Thus, the logical implication here is that if one's goal is not to be more like his Son, claiming verse 28 have hope only for a good emotional feeling. Being formed into the Son's image involves suffering, even as he suffered, which the natural man does not like to read into verse 28. Now, there are more supporting passages of God's specific call, he did foreknow, and so on, to specific individuals than we care to go into at this time. Acts 2:23, Ephesians 1:4, Ephesians 1:11, Colossians 1:15-18. Father, we thank you now for your assurance here in verse 28, Romans 8, that in all the distresses we see going on, even distresses in our own lives, that we must look by faith. We understand that you are working all things, Father, for the good of your church and for the good of your people, to conform us into the image of Christ. Give us the grace to rejoice evermore as these various distresses fall upon us. Use us and give us the victory that we claim to believe in Romans 8. Might we be more than conquerors over these things through Jesus Christ. Pray that our testimony in all these things might speak to others and make them desire to be in Christ. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.